And amen. Well, this morning, I kind of want to continue from where we were last week. We talked about New Year's and New Year's resolutions and things we want to change or things we want to do better, things we want to stop doing maybe. So this week, I kind of want to deal with that, but discuss how do we stay focused on those things. Oh, we do good in January, we do good in February, somewhere around March, April gets warm and things start to go back to our old habits. So today I want to kind of look at how we can remain in this spirit of renewal, this spirit of doing better and being better. So I want to use the book of Matthew, chapter 14. Verses 22 through 33. If you have your Bibles or your phone, turn to the book of Matthew, 14th chapter, verses 22 through 33. I'm going to read from the New International Version, the NIV, so it may be a little different. But it reads as thus. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me!" And immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me. Lord, save me." Father God, in this moment, we just ask that you open us up, open our minds, open our hearts, so that we may receive the message you have for us, that we may reflect on our own lives, and be able to apply this scripture in a way that edifies our own spiritual walk with you. I ask that you consecrate me now, by the power of your grace so divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and let my will be lost in thine. It's in the wonderful and matchless name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. Know the why. Know the why. A guy named Simon Sinek did a TED Talk. Anybody watch TED Talks? TED Talks? Yes? Okay, if you haven't, I'm going to blow your mind. They are just simply people in various professions go and they tell stories of their life and what they have learned. Very educated people, normally. Very successful people, usually. And this guy, Simon Sinek, he did the most popular TED Talk to date. The most downloaded, most watched. And in that, he called it knowing the why. And he was talking to businesses and companies about their marketing, how they market themselves. And he said, well, businesses always know what they do, right? A good business knows what it does. A good business knows how to do it, understands that, knows the how. But do they know the why? And if they know the why, do they communicate it effectively to the employees and to the public? Now you may say, well, that's easy. The why is making money. That's what a business does. But that's not a real why. If that was the case, then just telling the employees, hey, you're here to make money, you better show up and be on time. They know that, but that's not going to make them stay. Next chance they get to make money, more money, they're going to leave. So the idea is to dig a little deeper. What is the why? And what is our why? Well, as we look at this coming year and the things that we want to do in our lives, the things that we've told ourselves we're going to do, going to be different, I challenge you to ask yourself, do you know your why? What is your why? And so using the scripture today, I want to look at three ways to help us better see our why. First, we need to put on our God glasses. Secondly, we need to embrace God's challenge. And finally, we need to know that disciples are delivered. See, in the scripture, we find Jesus having just fed 5,000. You know the story. They only had a little bit of fish, a little bit of bread, and a whole lot of people to feed. Disciples didn't know what to do, scrambling around. Jesus looking at them again like, you still don't get it. You don't realize who I am. So he fed 5,000. And he tells them to go off. I want you to leave now. I want you to go get in the boat, go across the lake, and I'll meet you on the other side. I imagine Christ knew what was coming, but he needed to put them on this boat, understanding what they were about to go through, because they still didn't quite get who he was. So they go out. The Bible says they had some harsh winds, because they were just going across a lake. It probably should have taken them maybe a couple hours. But here we find them in the middle of the night, still rowing, still trying to get across. Why? Because the winds and the waves were battering against them. And sometimes in our lives, we feel God has told us to do something. God has set us on a course to do it. But then we find a lot of opposition. Things happen to us that keep us from going forward. All these challenges arise, right? Oh, this is the year I'm going to eat right. I'm going to make sure I change my diet. But then what happens? Oh, McDonald's brings back the McRib. What'd you do that for? Things come up. It's just not convenient. It's expensive to eat properly. It's a lot easier to throw things together, right? I want to get out. I'm going to get in shape. I'm going to walk every day, 30-minute walk. What happens? Rains every day. Oh, see, life's just against me. Doesn't want me to have this. Doesn't want to make it happen. But serious things do happen to us. Challenges present themselves. And we think we're on God's path. So what does it say? What does that mean? Does God want us to stop? Does he want us to quit? Well, we seem to be in fear when these things happen. And similar to the disciples when they saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. They thought it was a ghost. And they cried out in fear, not knowing what was coming towards them, not understanding this apparition that they saw, this thing coming on the lake at them. And in our lives, when we are challenged with things, things come. Little babies. Oh. They're not mine, though. Amen, amen. When things come and things happen, how do we react? We're in fear, right? In our natural selves, we either flee or we fight. That's what they say we're supposed to do. Something happens and we get angry at it. We want to fight it, or maybe we get scared and we want to run away. But that's not what God is saying here. He doesn't want us to be fearful. He doesn't want us to be angry when things challenge us, when life presents these obstacles, when we think we're on his path. He wants us to just stay focused on him. He wants us to not look at the circumstances and the whys of what's happening, but look at him. Put on our God glasses. Don't see what the world is trying to tell you. Don't see the challenge. Don't see that when I'm looking for a job and I can't find that job, and then finally a job pops up. But it's a job that maybe I'm not prepared for. It's a job maybe I'm not qualified for. It's a job I'm scared to step into because I might not be able to handle it. Don't see that. That's you talking. That's you being negative. That's you and I trying to take it on. God said it's not about you. It's about what I'm going to do through you. So step out into that job, knowing that in faith with him, he's going to see you through it. Amen? So no matter what it is, things are going to happen, but that's okay. As long as we stay focused on Christ. Paul stepped out the boat. He was walking on water, doing something he never thought he could do. Maybe we've had that in our lives. We did step out, and we find ourselves in a place we never thought we'd be. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for putting me here. Who knew I could do this? But then what happens? Oh, it gets a little good to us. We get a little comfortable, get a little lax, and we start sinking. We start slipping away. We lose our focus, start having too good of a time, forget why we're there. Stay focused on Jesus. He put you in that place, and he wants you there for a reason. And it's not just so you can shine and be successful, not just so people can see you. It's going to be because through you, he's going to bless somebody. Through you, he's going to allow you to say something because of your testimony that someone else is going to understand. They're going to say, wow, I went through that too. And you made it out. How did you do that? Well, let me tell you. It wasn't me, but I had God on my side. And I stayed focused on him the whole time. Put on your God glasses. Don't be scared about what's around you. Quick little story. I only have one today, sorry. But when I was a little kid, get up at night, as kids tend to do, and I would want to go to my parents' room and sleep in their bed. Of course, my mother never let me sleep in the bed, mean mother. So I'd curl up at the side of the bed. But walking down that hall from my room to their room, there was a stairway and there were rails there. And every time I would go, in my mind, I would see these little monsters reaching up trying to get me. I just knew they were there. And I would get there and I would get so scared I would just run as fast as I could to my parents' room so they wouldn't get me. Sometimes I'd be so scared I just wouldn't even go. So I told my mom this and she said, well, why don't you, when you get up, why don't you put on your glasses and you can see them if they're there? So I thought, okay, that makes sense. I mean, I've been blind a long time. So I got up, put on my glasses, stepped out in the hall, and I still really couldn't see anything in the rail, but I did see something that was there the whole time. I saw the light switch. I turned it on, and the light shined. I wasn't scared anymore. See, and that's how we have to be. It's a simple thing. We make life so big, so confusing, so scary with our thoughts, our anxiety, our fear. If we just turn on the light, see it for what it is, that God has us. We're walking in his light, his beautiful light. There's no need to be afraid. So when we see him, stay focused on him, on his light, and then we can embrace his challenges. What did he say to Peter? As Peter's walking there, eye on Christ, he sees the storm, he starts to slip. The Bible says Jesus reached down immediately. Oh, isn't he a good God that whenever we do fall short, those many, many times, or maybe for you, that one or two times, that he grabs us. He doesn't let us fall into the water. He doesn't let us sink and drown. He holds us up. And what does he say to him? He says, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. That's what he's saying to us. Have courage. Why are you walking around this life timid? You're in me. I'm in you. You have the authority of my blessing. That the things that you're going to do in your life, I'm always with you. So have that confidence. When we go out here, go into this world that needs us, because they're confused. They're worried about everything that's happening. Everything's doom and gloom all the time. And this world is soaked in sin, but we are the light of this world. Know that. Be that. Don't allow anything to tear you away from his love and understanding that you are his. In everything we do, the challenges that come our ways, take them head on, knowing that God has placed this here for a reason. What is it? So I can overcome it. How? In him. Why? So he can shine and have a testimony that he is the Savior. He is the Redeemer of my life. So walk in this life knowing that we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to worry about whether God is going to be there or not. As long as we stay focused on him, he'll bring us through each and every challenge, regardless of the circumstance, regardless of the situation. Don't rely on just yourself. So we go into something and we think it's about I have to do this. It's about me. How can I get over this? How can I make this happen? Well, then it does seem like a big task, because I'm sure that I have proven to myself time and time again that I can fail. I might not be able to do it. But if I go into it knowing that God's with me, that there's a divine presence guiding this, that no matter what the challenges come, it didn't have to be about I can say, all right, Lord, you see what's happening. I'm not going to deal with it in myself, because myself would probably get angry. Myself would probably make the situation worse. Myself would tell these people where they can go. God says, no, no need to be angry. No need to be fearful. I'm with you. I've put this here for a reason. Let me shine. Let me have it. Turn it over to me. Give me the challenge, and I'll show you how to navigate through this. I'll give you the words. I'll give you the presence that'll make people, the situation, dissipate. But we have to stay focused, have that faith, know that he's with us, and understand that it is the disciples who are delivered. See, the disciple is simply someone who's following Christ. In our day-to-day, in our thinking, in our walk, we're trying to follow his example. Well, we do our best, can't do it all the time. But as a disciple, we are looking to him for our guidance, and he knows this. So when it gets rocky, when the boat shifts, when it gets hard in that trudge, and it feels like it's weighing down on us, we don't quite understand it, we're following his lead. We look to him for the answers. That's why we have Bible study. That's why hopefully you have a daily meditation. That you get up in the morning, read a verse. What is God saying today? What path is he putting me on? And watch how later on in that day, you'll be able to use that verse to help you through a situation. That's how he works. Well, this new year, we've had some resolutions, and me and my wife, we got together in the beginning of the year. We like to sit down and go over the finances. You know, we consider ourselves the CEO of our household. So we have to look at how everything's going, how the budget's going, make some changes, diversify our portfolio, if you will, AKA stop shopping so much. But we do it as a way of being good stewards, right? We understand that God has given us this. God has blessed us with this ability to go out and to make money. And so the money we receive is his. So let us be good stewards with it. How does God want us to manage this? Of course, we have our ideas. Of course, we implement our ideas. But we invite God into the process. Do we invite God in our processes? Do we pray, of course, before meals, but do we pray before decision making? When we have serious discussions, do we pray and invite him in, letting him be a part of the process? May seem like an obvious thing, but do we do it? Because when that happens, we begin to live in our why. And it's very simple. God is the why. Christ is the why. The job isn't the why. The money isn't the why. The success isn't the why. The fun isn't the why. The why is my spirit, my spiritual growth. Because God understands he wanted to save me from this life, from my understanding of this life, and carry me on into an eternal existence. That's the why. The love of the Lord is our why. So let's invite that. Let's inject that into everything that we do. I may look at myself as the CEO, the chief executive, but the truth is, it's Christ as the CEO. Christ ever overcoming in my life again and again and again and again. And that's what I lean on. That's what I know. That's why I don't have to have fear about things. That's why we can step out and make plans. And as much as we want to plan, as much as Murphy's Law wants to laugh, I have a Jesus who sits on high, who makes all those challenges at some point go away if we just stay focused on him, not the situation, on Christ. Amen? Amen. If there is one who doesn't understand how Christ is fully moving in their lives, maybe hasn't accepted Christ fully